let's go ahead and start, and it sounds like we're going to have a few more join the call, and that's great. Let me just, for everybody to know, we're going to have, we don't know the exact number, but 50 to 80, let's say, postmasters around the state. Probably going to have some state and local, daily and weekly newspapers on that are very interested in the status of post offices, and may even have one or two or three people from the U.S. Postal Service itself. So what I thought I would do is talk about the postal bill that's on the floor right now in the Senate, and then I thought I would open it for questions, if that makes sense. So let me just dive into this, and again, I think we're going to have people joining, and that's great. So let me go ahead and jump into this. Again, Mark Pryor, I'm in Washington looking out the window at the Capitol Dome here in my Dirksen Senate building office. I tell you, the main reason we're having this call is there's been an outcry from all over the state about the concerns about closing the post office or maybe consolidating facilities. And the way I look at that is that's really a testimony to you all who are on this call, because the people around the state understand how important the Postal Service is and how critical it is that we get top-quality postal service throughout the state in cities that are large and small. So I just want to say thank you for doing what you've done. Thank you for your years of service. Clearly, we have issues with the Postal Service. You know, everybody knows the numbers that, you know, roughly in the last 5 years, the Postal Service has lost about $25 billion. Lots of reasons for that, but you can look at the decrease in mail volume. You can look at just all kinds of factors. Of course, the recession was part of that. Some of the issues with having to, you know, pay in to, you know, health care benefits and retirement, you know, all these things kind of factor in, but basically the Postal Service has been really struggling in recent years. So let me talk about the bill that's on the floor. Let me give you some good news about it, and I know that there's still a lot of questions about it. I'd say good news is this is a bipartisan bill. It came through one of my committees. I'm on six different committees up here, but one of the committees I'm on is Homeland Security, and we oversee the Postal Service, and so bipartisan, very long and detailed, difficult effort to try to get us to where we are today. The goal here is to put the agency on a road to stability, to continue to provide high-quality service, even in rural areas, and also to create some more transparency and accountability in the financial decisions that the Postal Service makes. And I have some amendments on this legislation that are already in. We'll talk about that. And I have some that we're going to talk about on the floor. But let me just jump right into the bill itself. You all know the context. In Arkansas, they've announced 186 post offices that will be closed, or at least considered for closure in Arkansas. We have 643, so that's a pretty good percentage of the number of that are proposed to be closed, or at least considered to be closed. Also, three processing centers are on the list for consideration for closure. So this is really hitting people all over the state. So this legislation, I'm going to lay out, I don't know, six or seven points here. We passed this in November in our committee. It's on the floor right now. It's taken a long time to get there because there's been a lot of discussion, lots of negotiation on different parts of the bill, but one thing it does is it allows the U.S. Postal Service to offer buyouts and retirement incentives to try to reduce the workforce. These have worked well in the private sector. We've seen other government agencies, probably most particularly the military, that's done this before. These can be win-wins for people where it's a voluntary buyout and retirement incentive to go ahead and reduce the workforce. And again, these have worked in other contexts, and the Postal Service thinks it'll work here. Another thing the bill will allow the the country to do is to keep the six-day delivery for at least 2 years. And then we would write into the law that you can only go to five-day delivery if it's certified that the U.S. Postal Service has done everything possible to become profitable. Part of this is people around the country like six-day delivery. I mean, some don't care that much about it, but there's a lot of support for it. We want to make that almost the remedy of last resort. We don't know we know that this reform bill is going to have positive effects. It's hard to tell how positive because you don't know what the mail volumes and all this other stuff will do. We just don't know. So this will at least give us 2 more years of six-day delivery, and then, in effect, it will give the Post Service an option, kind of a last resort type option to, you know, at the end of that process. Next thing I'd say is it requires the Postal Service to maintain modified overnight delivery standard for first-class mail for 3 years. Mail that is both mailed and delivered in an area served by the same processing center. So this is an effort here to save some processing centers. We think possibly there'll be about 150. We don't know these numbers exactly, but our estimate is that we've got 150 processing centers saved around the country. We're hoping that Jonesboro will be one of those. We wish we could save all of them in Arkansas, but we feel like this provision might save the Jonesboro Center. Next thing I'd say is that it creates new criteria that the U.S. Postal Service must take into account before closing post offices. And one of these that, well, a set of these that I've worked on and added in the committee is I feel pretty strongly that the Postal Service needs to look at factors in the community like Internet access, like the age, the average age and the demographics of the community, like transportation challenges in the community, you know, weather conditions. Some areas have really difficult weather issues and makes it very hard for folks to get somewhere to get their mail. Also a requirement that the Postal Service would serve remote areas and communities. I don't know, quite honestly, if the remote areas would fit, probably fit a few communities in Arkansas, but they certainly would fit, you know, a lot of areas out west, like in Alaska and other places. So we think some in Arkansas might qualify for this, but that doesn't necessarily mean rural. That means remote. So there's a distinction there. Next, I'd say is the Postal Service must develop a plan to restructure area and district offices. Now, this actually is something that the postmasters mentioned to me just a few weeks ago when they were in Washington. The U.S. Postal Service should develop a plan to restructure area and district offices and to consolidate offices located within 50 miles of each other. And one of you guys, or a group that was up here a few weeks ago, mentioned that to me. We've been working on this, and so we actually have this in the bill. Next thing is it creates a chief innovation officer. And some people may say, why in the world do you need that? Well, we need the Postal Service to innovate. We need them to be creative. We need them to look for innovative things they can do, products they can offer, services that they can make available, and also to create a strategic advisory commission to provide strategic guidance and ideas. There may be some great ideas out there that, you know, just no one has been able to get those in writing and try to implement those. So we're trying to get some innovation in the Postal Service, ways to save money, things you can do, you know, to be more competitive in this marketplace, I guess you could say. And the last thing I was going to mention, I guess I'll mention a couple of my other amendments, but the last thing I was going to mention is this bill reduces the Postal Service's responsibility to pre-fund health care benefits to 80%. This has been a subject of much discussion and compromise, and I think that you know, that's where the bill is, and it may stay there. There may be an amendment to try to change it. That's really the last thing I was going to say about the bill, is that there are a lot of amendments pending or that have been filed on the Senate floor about this bill. You know, one of the great things, but also one of the frustrating things about the U.S. Senate is every senator has the right to amend any bill, regardless of the subject matter. We're seeing a lot of non-germane, non-relevant amendments being filed on this bill. Most of those, not every single one, but most of those are coming from the Republican side. Most of the Democrats, by contrast, not every single one, but most of the Democratic amendments that are being offered are germane and they're relevant to the legislation. So, you know, I'm hoping that this is not one of those pieces of legislation that we've seen in the Senate in recent years that just gets weighed down by so many amendments, just a hopeless number of amendments. You can't get an agreement on anything, and I certainly hope that's not it. I know the leaders and the bill managers have been working very, very hard all day to try to get some votes and try to get this bill moving in the right direction. But we've had we're at a standstill right now. We've been waiting all day for a break and get a chance to bring up some of these amendments and all that, and that just hasn't happened yet. Let me go ahead and open it for questions. I mean, I have, you know, some of the underlying amendments that I have in the bill allows stations and branches to appeal the determination for closure. There's no process right now. I think people ought to be given a fair shake and have a chance to actually appeal that determination. Also, one of the provisions I put in the bill is to allow more transparency in the decision-making process by requiring the Postal Service to state in writing whether it will implement recommendations, and if not, explain why they're not going to implement the recommendations of the Postal Commission. So, again, I think that's a fairly common sense thing. We were able to get that in the bill. I have some amendments pending on the floor, or at least we're working on the floor. We're going to file these if we hadn't already filed them today. And that is, one is a sense of the Senate. And if we pass this, that means we don't even have to pass the bill. We now have a sense of the Senate out there. It's not binding on the Postal Service, but it gives the Postal Service a good indication that they should not close postal facilities until the A bill is enacted. And it basically puts pressure on the Postal Service to extend the moratorium beyond the May 15 deadline. Everybody knows about the May 15 deadline. This would basically be a kind of a formal way to ask them to extend that deadline, basically a sense of the Senate. They say basically the Senate wants this, extend the deadline, give everybody more time here, and give these post offices that are scheduled for closure, give them a chance. And one of the other amendments I'm working on with several others is to reduce the compensation for the highest level execs in the Postal Service. Right now, I think there's a very small number, just one, two, three maybe, that actually make more than cabinet members. And I think we, under the circumstances, I think we need to cap some of these high-end salaries, and we're doing that. Senator Tester and I have that amendment. And then also, we want to give the Postal Regulatory Commission the authority to modify and override the Postal Service decision to close post offices. And this is kind of an accountability issue. Right now, you know, quite honestly, and I know it's just the way it's set up. No one's abusing their power. It's just the way it's set up. But right now, there's not really a check and balance. There's not a lot of accountability, and we think this would add some accountability. So, listen, there's a lot in this legislation. Again, it's bipartisan. It has taken months for us to get where we are right now. It's on the floor. We don't know what the future holds over the next couple of days, if we're going to be able to get an agreement to limit the number of amendments or get an agreement on, you know, how we're going to proceed at this point. That's always a challenge under the Senate rules. But hopefully, over the next day or two, we'll get good news on this, and this legislation will start moving again. The overall goal here is to put this Postal Service that's so important to this country, that's actually written into the Constitution, as you all know, to put this on the road to stability and make sure it's here for years, you know, long in perpetuity into the future, and also to build in some accountability and transparency and, you know, just make the Postal Service better and stronger. So with that, what I would like to do is I'd like to just open it for questions, and I'll be glad to answer questions if anyone has any.
Senator Pryor.
By the way, one last thing, just as a reminder, for those who joined the call late, we have 50-plus postmasters, maybe as many as 80, but somewhere in that range, and we also have some daily and weekly newspapers that are on there listing in, and if they want to ask questions, they can, but I just wanted to remind people that that's who's on the call. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Senator Pryor, this is John DeWitt from Eureka Springs, Arkansas.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for taking some of our ideas that we presented to you and getting them into this legislation. I think it's much needed. I appreciate your leadership and the direction that you're taking this. You're hitting a lot of the points that we feel are important to our rural communities, and you're doing a great, great job for us, and we just want to thank you.
Well, I'm not kidding when I said earlier there's been an outcry about the Postal Service. People all over this state know how important what you do is, and you do it very well. And, you know, we've had a difficult set of changing circumstances here, the internet, you know, email, you know, automatic bill pay, all, you know, debit cards, you know, all these things, plus you throw in the recession, and then you throw in some of the things that we've talked about before, like pre-funding health care and all of this. It's just really put the hammer lock on the Postal Service. So we're going to do our best to try to get you out of that. But thank you for saying that, John. I appreciate it. And we're proud to take your ideas. And I think you're the one that talked about those area and district offices, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you very much. Thank you for coming up to D.C.
No problem.
Who else has a question? Anybody? I mean, we can, like I said, there's other parts of the bill. If you want to ask about those, or if you want to kind of get a lay of the land here in the Senate about, you know, the dynamics of this, I'll be glad to visit about that. And I think most, I wish I could say this for every senator, but I think most senators really do want to see the Postal Service get on sound financial footing and be strong into the future. And almost every senator has rural areas, and they understand how important postal service is out in rural America and their parts of the state. Okay, so I'm sorry. If anybody wants to unmute their phone, you hit #5. I'm sorry, I didn't know that. If I'd have known that, I would have made that announcement. But if you want to unmute your phone and ask the question, hit #5, and I should be able to hear you. We should all be able to hear you. Does anybody else have any questions or comments?
Good evening, Senator.
Yes, sir. Who's this?
Tom Oliverio, postmaster of the lovely town of Sweet Home, Arkansas.
There you go.
And I'm the postmaster representative for NAPIS.
Right.
And if you remember, during our visit with you a couple weeks ago, I brought to your attention some concerns with senior postal management inhibiting our membership from corresponding with members of Congress. I wonder if you could speak to that a little bit, please.
Well, my view of this is any postmaster should be able to freely contact their congressman or senator. And I hope everybody here knows I have an open-door policy. There's lots of different ways to contact us, but certainly pick up that phone, and we will be glad to visit with you. And if we need to keep it confidential, we will. But it's just an important part. It's very important for us to hear from you because you guys know what's going on out there. You're in the trenches. You're kind of my eyes and ears, so to speak. And, you know, quite honestly, this is one of the reasons why we're having this call at this time of day, because for most people it's after hours, and I want you all to feel free to speak freely.
Thank you, Senator. I very much appreciate your time and leadership.
Thank you. Who else? Anybody else have anything they want to add? Again, hit #5 if you want to unmute your phone, and love to hear from people.
Senator, this is Gerald Garner, Gravette, Arkansas.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate your time as well. As you alluded to, you know, over the last 5 years, we've lost some $25 billion and slated to lose, I think, $14, $15 billion this year. What in this bill is going to stop that bleeding, so to speak, other than that maybe reducing the pre-funding to 80%, which if we're pre-funding to the tune of $5 billion, that's going to be like $4 billion.
Right.
What I mean,
Well, let me run through just a few of those, because there's a long list, and I don't want to say any of these are small, because they might add up to tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars. But one would be, you know, I mentioned before the buyouts and retirement incentives. Those actually save the Postal Service a lot of money over time. There's some workers' compensation reforms that are in the bill. I didn't mention those earlier. But basically, it has to do with the way workers' comp is calculated, and we think we're doing this in a way that's sound and makes sense. But there again, that's going to add up to, I think, quite a bit of savings over time. You know, one of the ideas that came from you all, from your organization, is to look at closing and consolidating not just post offices and not just the processing facilities, but actually closing and consolidating area and district offices, kind of middle management, I guess I'd say. So, you know, trying to do that, looking for other ways to generate revenue, and that's what the innovation office is about, is to try to think of ways that you can actually generate revenue that makes sense, that, you know, are good public policy as well. So, you know, lots of those kind of things. You know, one of these things is I think that in terms of some of the changes that have been proposed with the Postal Service, it seems like, for example, if you're going to mail a piece of mail in Jonesboro, it doesn't make sense to mail that, haul that to Little Rock or some other processing center, then haul it back up to Jonesboro to deliver it. And so we're trying to get rid of some of the things that just don't make a lot of sense like that. But basically, when you add all this up and just look at some of the reforms that have already taken place with the Postal Service, we're hoping that the post office will get back in the black. That's certainly the goal. But we want to keep that high quality of service for people. And, you know, we're doing our best to try to get there. But that's a great question, Gerald. Did you have any other question about that or any specific that you wanted to add to that?
Well, no, I'm just, you know, we're talking billions, you know, big numbers. And I think some people are thinking, you know, I'm not saying drastic measures, but obviously there's got to be some legislation or something, you know, because the Postal Service is a unique animal. You know, it's not funded by the government, but it's regulated by the government.
That's right.
And we can't do the other things that, you know, UPS and FedEx can do overnight.
Right.
Know?
That's right. And I would say this, that Senator Carper, who is a senator from Delaware, is a Democrat, and again, this is a very bipartisan bill, but he's one of the Democratic co-sponsors, and he has just been relentless on this, trying to get this right. But he talks about this as it's almost like the U.S. auto industry. I hope we saved the U.S. auto industry. We had to make some hard choices, had to let some things go, had to change lots of things in how the U.S. auto industry conducted its business, and, you know, had to slim it down quite a bit. But the truth is, the U.S. auto industry is pretty healthy today. And, you know, we've gotten really good. Of course, Ford never got in the big trouble. They did a reorganization before the recession hit. But General Motors, at least right now, or has been the number one automaker in the world again. And Chrysler looks like it's coming on strong. It's always kind of been the third weak sister, but it seems to be coming on strong and picking up where it needs to pick up. And so we're hoping that's kind of what you see with the Postal Service, that it's a whole series of reforms. And some of these are not going to be much fun. They're going to be painful. They're not going to be easy. And everybody's going to have to give a little and adjust a little. But it's a series of reforms that over the next few years, as we see this, we're going to get the Postal Service where we want it to be, and it's going to be there for a long, long time. Who else has a question? That was good, Gerald. I appreciate that. Who else has a question? Or a
Sir,
comment?
I do. I'm Scott Blake, postmaster in Fox. Would it be the Senate that determines as far as these buyouts are concerned? Would the Senate, would it be part of this bill that would determine how much, what these buyouts consist of, how much
yes.
it would be for?
Yes. I have a little detail on that, and this is maybe subject to change because, again, in the Senate, you can always amend and you can always change the legislation. But the way it's structured right now, the incentives, OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, currently estimate that U.S. Postal Service has overpaid and defers, you know, the Federal Employee Retirement System, about $6.9 billion. That's just some background for you all, just so you all will have a number there. I just ran across that number, wanted to make sure you have it. But in terms of the incentives, the cash buyout would be up to $25,000. That is actually set by another federal law, but we've adopted that level, $25,000. And then you'd get credited service years toward retirement and annuity. And I think it's up to 1 year of credit for civil service retirement system employees or up to 2 years for FERS employees. So I don't know if that helps, or I don't know if that gives you enough detail.
So the $25,000 in plus 2 years?
I believe that. I'm sorry, wait. I think that's an or.
Right.
I think that's an or, not an and. And I'm sorry, I probably wasn't clear on that. But I think that's the way it's structured right now.
You know, in my situation, should my office be closed, relocation, because of circumstances within my family, relocation would be, a real hardship on
sure.
my family. But, a buyout for this amount when we would be penalized so much to, you know, we need to access our thrift savings plan.
Mm-hmm.
If we did have to take that, it wouldn't be, you know, it's not an ideal situation. I need to finish my career. But for me to take the buyout and then, which would is what the Postal Service needs me to do, then I'm penalized to use my thrift savings plan. It seems like there should be a provision that we could access our thrift savings plan without such a severe penalty.
You know what? I need to look at the details of the bills, but I don't think that's included right now, but I can certainly check on that. To see if that's something that has been considered. I know that several senators and even congressmen, there have been some congressmen in on this part of it, have tried to find the balance, have tried to figure this piece out because if I understand the numbers right, if you reduce the workforce by about 100,000, which they think is what may happen if this provision passes. They think that there'll be enough people, about 100,000 system-wide, over time. It's not going to be overnight, but over time, about 100,000 people take this. They think that saves about $8 billion a year. So this is a pretty big line item in terms of savings. So let me check on that. I'm not going to be able to get you an answer on this call, but Scott, if you want us to, you're in Fox, right?
Right.
What we'll do is we'll check on that, and we'll check on the Thrift Savings Plan, the TSP.
I think that would make a big difference in the number of people that took them up on that early
okay.
out.
Let me we'll check on that, and we'll probably call you back tomorrow if that's
That'd
okay.
That'd be great. Thank you.
That'd be good. Anybody else have any comments or questions or suggestions?
Can you hear me? This
yes,
is Dixie Riker. Okay, Dixie Riker, Postmaster in Chester, Arkansas.
Yeah.
My question is, Senator Pryor, is it on the $25,000 cash buyout, would it be lump sum, or would you do it like, you know, part in 1 year and the other part in another year, or has that been discussed?
I'm pretty sure it's going to be lump sum, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be up to $25,000. It looks like we're going to build in. I don't know the details of this, but I want to say there's going to be some formula, and my understanding is it already exists in some other federal law. But, again, we can check on this if you want us to check on it and call you back. But I think the way it's going to work is it'd be lump sum, and it's probably not automatically 25K, but it kind of depend on your years of service and whatever else, I would assume.
And one more question, and this is probably maybe a crazy question, but is there any deadline as to when you can say nay or yay on this bill, or is it, can it just, like, linger forever before, you know, I mean.
You talking about on the early buyout, or are you talking
well,
about
yes. Well, on this
buyout part?
Yes.
I think what we do here is we lay these incentives out, and my guess is that, you know, you're going to have something like 2 years to make a decision. I'm not sure the Postal Service would want everybody to do it all at once. I think that might be too disruptive, and, you know, I'm guessing that they would have some sort of phase approach where I know in the military they've done this before where, you know, they'll give these early retirements. Instead of staying 20 years, we'll do you a lump sum at 15, and we'll give you credit, you know, whatever it is, and then boom, you're out. You get some sort of pro rata share of your retirement, you know, that kind of thing. So this has been done before in the federal government, and, again, I think it's been relatively successful because a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people, that makes economic sense to them. They can take that buyout, whatever it is, and they can go on and do another job and piece it together, and, you know, they come out okay. I know people who've done that in the military, and they've been happy to do it. So
right.
I think the goal is here is to give people that option, and if it makes sense for them, maybe they'll take it. But the Postal Service, I think, believes that it's going to be about 100,000 people that do this. So
yes, I would be one of those people that would be happy to do it.
Well, there again, it's not going to work for everybody, but it may work just fine for you. So anyway, if you have more questions about that, feel free to call us back maybe tomorrow or something when you know my postal guys are here, and we'll be glad to visit with you about that.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else have a question? I appreciate all these questions and comments. Anybody else have a question?
Yes, sir, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
My name is Keith Kopp, and I'm the postmaster in beautiful downtown Nashville, Arkansas.
All right.
Do you think there's going to be any movement prior to the May 15th moratorium on closing offices? I mean, is there something that you're going to be able to do to make that? To extend the moratorium?
Well, here's the reality of what we're talking about here, and this is one of the reasons I want to do this sense of the Senate, is if we pass this, let's just say next week, we have no guarantee of this. You know, the Senate is deadlocked and gridlocked on things before. They shouldn't on this, and I certainly want to do what I can. I mean, this isn't a perfect bill. Everybody on this call could go through here and pick at this and say this isn't perfect, but I hope that we're able to move this and get it through the Senate either this week or next week. Then the question is, what will the House do with it? And, you know, that's something that nobody knows the answer to right now. I think the House has said if y'all pass it, you know, we'll at least look at it, you know. But I don't think we have a real solid commitment that they're going to take it up and pass it over there. But nonetheless, that's why I want the sense of the Senate in there, because if we pass that, the Senate itself is officially on record. It doesn't bind the post office, but we're officially on record saying, please, you know, more or less extend this moratorium beyond the May 15, because May 15 is coming upon us pretty quickly here.
Yes.
So that's what the goal is there, and we just don't have any guarantee. First, don't have a guarantee we'll pass it in the Senate, and then second, don't have a guarantee we'll pass it in the House. So you know how it is. Legislative process can be slow, and there's lots of steps you have to go through to get something like this passed. Who else has a question?
Yes, sir. This is Joan Hodges from Vandale, Arkansas.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned you were talking about remote areas.
Yep.
Arkansas has remote areas, and they could become remoter in the sense that you have an office that is 10 miles from the nearest office. They close office A and bring their mail to B, and then what's going to prevent the Postal Service from closing office B and moving it to office C, which is 10 miles away?
No, you're exactly right. We have seen this in the FSA offices with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The statute says you shouldn't close one if they're further apart than, I think it's 25 miles, and they've been playing games with that. And we need to. I'm going to make a note right here, Joan. I'm glad you said that, because we need to scrutinize that language and make sure that they cannot play games like that. Because one of the things that the Department of Agriculture has proposed to do in one area is close two different offices, and now when they close that second office, it leaves that first office too far away from any other office. So we need to. I'm going to make sure we clean that up. So I'm making a note to myself right now, because I don't want to make that. I don't want to give the post office that much leeway to play games with that.
The instance that I'm thinking about is in Snow Lake, Arkansas.
Yep.
And that's a group of very small post offices down there, and some of those people could wind up driving 40 miles one way
right. To
get to a post office, and that's not what was intended.
Well, that's part of this criteria that I said that we're adding to this bill, and it has to do with, remote areas. Again, remote isn't necessarily rural, so we need to put some definition on this, but remote areas and trying to make sure that people aren't left in the lurch, because that's what's going to happen is you're going to have lots and lots of places that don't have good internet access. You have a lot of senior citizens. You have a lot of transportation challenges. And like you said, you can get a map, and sometimes as the crow flies, oh, you say, oh, you're only 10 miles away. But by the time you drive it, you know how it is. It's 45 minutes. And that's just the way it is in Arkansas, because it's not that you do as the crow flies. You got to go around the mountain and, drive over the bridge, over the river, and finally come back and loop around, and suddenly it's 45 minutes away. So that's why we put that criteria in there for these remote communities. And we have a lot of, I think we have a lot of them in Arkansas. I feel like we do, but I know that there are other states that have truly remote areas that are, 100 miles or something from the next post office. And some of those areas clearly are going to be covered by this, and I think a lot in Arkansas will as well.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Who else has a question? Anybody?
Senator Pryor, this is Stephanie Jett. Are there any provisions that will protect postmasters' employment should their office close?
The post office tells us, and I think it's written in the law too, that no one's going to be fired, but you may have to be transferred or... some of that may not be perfect, and it may not work for some people, but I do think we have a commitment, and I think it's written in the law. I think I need to check, because I know we talked about writing that in the bill. I think we've written that in the bill that postmasters won't be fired. So, and if a facility closes, those folks won't lose their jobs. They may have to go somewhere else. And, again, I'm not crazy about that, but, and it may be the best we can do in the circumstance.
Senator Breyer, this is Twyla Long, Postmaster in Centerton.
Yeah.
When you're talking about buyouts, when do you see the first round of that happening?
Well, I think that what we'd be talking about is fairly soon after the president signs the bill. The government never works real quickly, and it's not very nimble all the time, but I would say weeks probably is more likely than months. It may take a couple of months to get it running, but the Postal Service sees this as it's survival for them, so they're going to try to expedite these reforms and these changes. They're going to try to implement them as quickly as possible, because every week that goes by, they're losing more money. And like I said, if they can over time thin out their workforce, they end up saving about $8 billion a year. So, that's one estimate, and, we don't know exactly, but that's an estimate we've seen. So they have an incentive to try to restore the stability of the postal system to try to implement this as quickly as possible. But y'all know how it is. It's probably going to take a few weeks. I hope not a few months, but I'd say a few to several weeks before they could actually implement some of this.
And do they give so long for you to make that determination whether you're retiring or not? Is it?
I think we have the 2-year provision in there, but I'm going to have to check. And you're asking me a very good question. I don't know the answer to, and that is, if they were to lay this out and give you the option, would they put a time on you and say, look, this thing's available for 2 years, but you have to decide right now?
Right.
Or you know, and that, well, I don't think that's the way it is. I think you actually have 2 full years, but I will check on that. And would you like us to call you back on that tomorrow?
Yeah, if you would. I mean, from what you're saying is, if they're going to give us 2 years to do it, let's say they come out with it, and I'm just rounding here, the 1st of May.
Right.
Okay? And they say, here, this is the offer, you got 2 years. Can you just turn around and say, okay, I'm going to retire?
Yeah.
You can't.
Well, no. I'm saying yes. I understand your question. We're going to have to check on that and call you back tomorrow when our postal guy's here in the office and he has a chance to look at it and probably talk to some staff about it. Tell me your first name again.
Twila, T-W-I-L-A.
Okay.
Long, L-O-N-G.
Okay. And you're in?
At Centerton.
Centerton. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Great. Perfect. I just, for some reason, the phone cut out when you said that, but I got it. And good. And again, if you guys want to, if y'all have other questions, feel free to write us, call us, you know, get on our website, whatever. We'll be glad to try to answer other specific questions. Anybody else have a question while we have everybody on the line?
Senator Pryor, I have one. Mike Fermenter from Hebron.
Yep.
The new restrictions for the closure of offices retroactive to those already on the closure list, or would that just be going forward?
All right. Ask me that again. I'm sorry.
The new restrictions for the closure of offices.
Yes.
Will that be retroactive to those already on the closure list, or will that just be going forward?
It is retroactive.
Okay.
My understanding is it is retroactive, and that's another one I'll check on tomorrow to confirm that, but I'm pretty sure that's the way that was the subject of quite a bit of discussion in the committee and among senators who are working on this is, can we make that retroactive and how will that work? And, you know, there's a lot of details that go with that. But I'll double-check the bill, but I'm pretty sure it is retroactive. Anybody else? Listen, you guys have been great. We appreciate it. I'm going to call at least a couple people back, maybe 3 I think I have on the list, but we will check on some of these answers and get back with you specifically. But please feel free to holler at us tomorrow or in the next few days if this is pending if you have other questions. And always feel free to contact us and reach out to us. Again, I can't say it enough. It almost sounds corny, but there has been an outcry around the state of Arkansas about closing these post offices because people understand how important they are, and all the credit for that goes right back to you guys because y'all are out there every day providing this service, and you just do great things, and especially some of these in these small towns, these rural areas, post office is vitally important to connect the people there to the world and vice versa. So I really appreciate y'all and appreciate everything that you're doing. So what I'm going to do is I'll hang up here and just with that closing thought of just thank you and just please stay in touch with us. If you hear something, if you feel like I need to know something, please don't hesitate to pick up that phone or email us, jot us a note, get on website, whatever you want to do. We'll be glad to help you in any way we can.
Can we get that phone number and website, please?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Our website is pretty simple. It's www.prior.senate.gov. www.prior.senate.gov. And our phone number here is 202-224-2353, 202-224-2353, and if I'm not here, you should ask for Jason, because Jason does our postal work, and he's busy as a bee right now because this bill's on the floor, but track him down, and he'll be glad to try to answer any questions if you have more specific questions.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Hey, thank you all for being on tonight. I really appreciate y'all's time and appreciate your input. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for your phone call.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.